appreciated the fact that Woods was willing to take up his time because he really only had 8 minutes to promote his movie on our station. And, you know, Detroit's a top 10 or 11 market. It's a pretty good chance for him to get some asses in some movie seats and help his career. And he felt that, you know, what he had gone through in terms of witnessing this practice flight was important enough that he wanted anyone who thought they saw the same thing he saw to make sure they told the CIA or the FBI about it or the flight attendant or do something. But don't just take it as they had at the time. And anyway, here's how that conversation went with James Woods regarding 9/11.
Now, James, we've been getting a lot of emails since I announced you were coming on, and so many people want to know about this 9/11 practice run that you thought you witnessed something really strange on a plane, and you went straight to the FBI, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't go to the FBI. What I did is I reported it to the pilot, to the first officer on the plane.
Yeah, tell the whole story, because I remember, I think I heard you say this on Jay Leno, I think it was, and it blew me away when I first heard it.
You know, it was before 9/11. We can't figure out which flight it was, because I took several flights at that time.
Uh-huh.
I had gotten on a flight with four guys who just looked completely wrong. And this is at a time when nobody was thinking about terrorism, I mean, but they were four, like, I mean, they looked like, I can't say it any other way, like central casting Palestinian terrorists.
Sure.
And they were all dressed alike. And
James, how long before 9/11 was this, would you figure?
About almost 2 months before.
Okay.
Wow.
And it was the same flight, you know, Boston to New York.
Sure.
Boston to L.A. And I remember thinking, this is really weird. These guys don't have any camera logic. They're watching every bit of the operation of the plane. They completely ignored the stewardess when she told them to sit down. And at one point, the pilot came out of the cockpit. And, I mean, these guys, you'd think they'd hit the jackpot. It's like if you play poker and you watch other people's reactions. I mean, you think, oh, that guy just made the flush, or he just made the full house or whatever. You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious sometimes with that. These guys, it was so obvious. And that cockpit door opened, but they thought they were seeing something. So I went up and I said to the head, whatever the politically correct word is, captain mm-hmm. service professional. I said, look, I know that this, I said, you know who I am, right? She said, yeah. I said, so you know I'm not a frivolous person, just sort of, you know. I said, you know, somebody has something to lose here. I said, I know how serious this is to stay on an American airplane when it's in flight. I said, but I think there are people on this plane who are planning to hijack this plane.
She said, wow.
Well, I ordinarily would, you know, not want to hear that word, she said, but I've been thinking the same thing. She said, are we talking about our friends in, you know, the seats behind? And I said, yeah.
No kidding.
She said, you know what? I'm glad you came up. She said, let's call the cabin and see what's going on in the cockpit. So the first officer came out, and he kind of smiled at me, and he said, I'm going to look over your shoulder with a smile on my face. And he said, would you just kind of tell me who you think might be causing this problem and explain it to me? And I said, well, look over my shoulder and tell me who you think I'm talking about. Well, he said, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? And I said, yeah. And I said, here's what they're doing. And I went through some details that I've been asked not to ever talk about. Anyway, and he said, uh-huh. He said, okay, well, we're going to lock the door up here. And he said, we're going to make a report. Well, later, Seymour Hersh wrote an article about it and told me that a report had been submitted to the FAA. And the reason it was never pursued was that the FAA said it was racial profiling.
Oh, God.
And then several of the meetings I had with the FBI, and one guy that I worked with in particular showed me, you know, better pictures than you saw in the newspaper of the hijackers and so on.
Was it the guys that actually did it?
Two of them, I believed, were.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Oh,
that was a test run.
But my point is, whether it was true or not, and I don't want to say categorically that it was, although I've been told by several people that it was, you know, I bump into people, like a couple of one guy that I talked to was high up in one of the task force. I said, yeah, I said, there was some thought that my guys might have been. So your guys were. There were those guys, and I said, I know, but the FBI doesn't ever really actually backwash information to the. He said, well, he said, they were, trust me. I said, okay, so I don't know, you know, but.
Wow. Oh, no. Those are the guys, all right. No question about it.
But I mean, the weird thing is, you know, if you've ever been around, like when I did Ghost of Mississippi and I actually saw Byron De La Beckwith, there's something about people who are killers.
Mm-hmm.
You just sort of, in retrospect, when you know. It just, they smell different. I can't explain it.
So I know we're out of time. James, thank you so much. Great story, too. I'm just fascinated by
what a story.
Okay, guys, well, listen, it was really great talking to you.
Okay, all right, James, all right.
Bye.